Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. I am G.R. Mobley. This is an educational grassroots program focused on uniting and leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. Welcome back, and as always, it is now or never, and I can't emphasize that enough, and I know everybody here understands what I mean by that, because we are running out of time, and I appreciate some of the exigencies that some people are expressing. As a matter of fact, I really love what the heck's going on in Wyoming. And so maybe we'll provide you a little bit later on this month or this week, you know, some substatus and updates on some of these First Amendment petitions. But really, what's happening in South Dakota, I can't sit on too long. So anyway, as you know, this show is also sponsored by RepublicReview.org, as well as Reclaiming the Republic. And we will also tell you this is the only show that gives you the academic evidence and academic evidence-based solutions for what we need to do, where we've come from, and why we're here. And it all has everything to do with the Constitution for the United States. And so understanding that is why we kind of started off the year in speaking about the scale of liberty and letting you understand the different wiring within people's heads. I mean, a person is literally wired different how they think. If you think it's okay to compel somebody for whatever purpose, good or evil, you're in that same coin. You're part of that same coin. You're just two different sides. On the liberty side, there's no side. There's no coin. It's not two-sided. Everybody believes that a person must choose for themselves and ultimately where and what you are going to do, where you're going to go. You have to get informed and make the decisions for yourself. It is not our job. It's not government's job to tell you what to do. We have laws. We believe in the rule of law, and that you violate those laws, you must suffer the consequences. It's not like, you know, parenting where a child gets, you know, so many chances before the parent finally gets up and gives them a smack on the butt. I read a book my father gave me, as I was becoming a parent. It was by Dr. Dreyfus, and it was Children the Challenge. And the book was really about this struggle for power and control. And this is why Dreyfus basically says that you need to, you know, assure the child that what you say, what your ultimate thing you say is going to be enforced. So if you said no, and they, you know, reach over, they look like they're going to, and you say, don't touch that. And then they touch it, you have to get up and deliver the consequence. In other words, you got to pick them up, smack their bum, whatever it is you're going to do, you know, make faces, lick them all over the face. Whatever the punishment is that you're going to do, hopefully it's righteous and just, but, you know, you're the parent and you have to hold the line that all the laws will be enforced. Now, everybody can see, and most everybody's complaint today is the laws aren't being enforced. As a matter of fact, they're being arbitrarily enforced. As a matter of fact, yesterday I pointed out this gal by the name of Catherine Henry, how she, you know, is out there. It's not like she was tearing down any buildings, not getting people to have fires and torches and chanting and, you know, getting very, very aggressive to where they're damaging property or anything like that. Need I remind everybody that the cops just sat on their hands and let these people go crazy? The Bolshevik Revolution occurred. This gal's actually holding government accountable, and they arrest her. Evil is good and good is evil today. If you can't see this, then you have to start saying, okay, we have to start understanding, and we need to start holding them accountable. As a matter of fact, the next thing she should have done is she should have wrote a petition to the police and the county prosecutor, all the people that had their finger in making the decision to arrest her, that they then violated her civil rights and they were now on notice this is what we have to do. We have to hold people accountable. And this is what it's all about. Now, one of the things I was going into yesterday, I didn't get a chance to finish this on my ranting on China. If you didn't know, and I think most people are starting to hear this, that China is becoming so emboldened. I mean, it is so inevitable that China must engage in some type of direct conflict. They're going to wage war. And we better be ready to defend liberty. America better be ready to defend liberty. And with that knucklehead, that unconstitutionally chosen knucklehead in the White House, we're in this situation because of him. As a matter of fact, everything played out because, and there's a good likelihood that China saw Trump as a huge problem. Now, anybody that doesn't bow to the Chinese agenda is a problem. So obviously, my hat's off for Trump on that. He was at least not viewed as, because they were willing to do whatever they needed to get a person in that would create a favorable condition for them, because they knew that they're making this march to war. As a matter of fact, I think I read a strategy book that by 2030, they would actually be engaged with warfare with us. I mean, direct warfare. Folks, you know, it's going to happen. Just like Islam has declared war against all infidels of the world. You know, right now, when you start seeing a world power, see, Iran and these Islamic states, they're not world powers. They may have a lot of money in their oil, but the one thing they don't have is the resources and everything else they need. You know, they just happen to be people that were just born and grew up to, you know, destitute to a point in time where something under their feet was worth a lot of money. And somehow they were able to obtain, you know, the rights when technically they didn't. But technically they did. But technically they didn't. In other words, the way it all went down in the 60s, when they started actually seizing and obtaining all of this stuff, they should not have been able to purchase any of the drilling equipment, because they didn't have the technology. They wouldn't be able to do that. So they would have been in court, you know, going after the patents for what it would take to, they would have had to come up with their own way of pulling that oil out, like with a shovel or something else. And because most all of the technology by that point had been so patented and so hardened that they didn't have the rights to that. Now, you know, that they wanted to go down that path. But bottom line, what ended up happening was that we gave them everything. Ayn Rand talks about this. I think she was on, who's that idiot that wore the panties, his wife's panties? Donahue. Yeah, that's what it was. Marlo Thomas's husband. And so... She made him look like a fool. She shut him down. Ayn Rand basically talked about the intellectual property and the fact that, you know, that crap under their feet didn't mean anything to them other than the fact that people were making it rich off of it. And so they started paying them a royalty, and then all of a sudden they said, well, that's not good enough. We're now seizing this. And again, you know, it's one thing to say that's yours under your feet, and it's one thing to get paid a royalty or something for that, but for them to give them the technology and everything else that they need to actually extract that, that's where the problem came in. And so, bottom line, when we look at world powers, the world powers are actually, you know, getting into a position. Well, it seems like Russia and China are getting into a position, but it doesn't seem like America is. And as a matter of fact, with the swatting down of balloons and the other little things that our commander and chump has been, you know, placating and, you know, pedaling backwards and surrendering things, I have no faith. I have no faith if the war is fought in the next 2 years. So what has to happen is, and I think China may know this, we may not see the next election in 2 years. Now, there's one thing that can get rid of Biden immediately. We still have that petition. You know, he was unconstitutionally chosen. The academic argument can't be broken. The facts still remain. 31 states violated the Constitution, and Congress was informed. And those members of Congress all should be gone. They should be dragged into jail for what they did, because they committed treason against the Constitution by allowing Biden to become unconstitutionally chosen instead of following the Constitution. They should have executed the 12th Amendment. And because they didn't, well, we're in a huge mess, folks. That petition is out there. And we may actually see before now and 2024 why, you know, the voice in the wilderness over this petition may be the only sound voice that could have actually changed the course of the events as they play out in America. And they may not be favorable. But the fact of the matter is, the direction we're going is not favorable. We actually have to, you know, batten down the hatches, and we have to get ready. And we have to start acting. We have to start doing things. We need your help in writing petitions. We need your help in getting petition signatures and educating people. We'll give you the content. People want to understand the Constitution. We have it already. I've read the Constitution. Those podcasts are in my podcast archive. Please check it out. So what we're going to do is, and actually I'm hoping to have another sovereign citizen movement, you know, on the air. I'd like to interview another one to find out, you know, how they're, you know, selling this concept that America bad, Constitution bad, and that type of stuff. Because I'm at a loss. I'm absolutely at a loss of how the good patriots of the United States are being misled. You know, you already got the people that are, you know, hook, line, and sinker in the Republican Party. They've just basically given up all common sense, logic, and reason and have dove into, you know, supporting the rhino agenda, conservative control. We have to start, you know, using these, you know, using laws to control people. Unconstitutional, but doesn't matter. We got to use them. We want to control them anyway. With that, we've got a promo. We'll be right back after this. Thank you so much. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review as well as my description of the Republic Review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how Republic Review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you.
Friends, if you have any questions or comments, we have our 24-hour comment line at 425-270-5416.
Okay, now, what I didn't do is I still didn't tell you this other little part about China. So, most people know that China has been providing resources to Russia to help advance in the Ukraine. But it seems, and so because this is coming from the Biden administration, everything is suspect. But it makes sense that China has been wanting to actually get more engaged in, you know, starting to knock chips off of people's shoulders and take their heads off. The dragon is getting serious. And so we can see now the Blinken and the Biden administration, the unconstitutional dolt in that White House, is now basically
or at least his ambassador is saying that, hey, it looks like China is creeping along this line of becoming more active in supporting. In other words, not just supporting Russia with, you know, some arms and so forth. They're going to come in with their technology and weaponry and assist. Interesting, huh? So if China actually does help get engaged, I think what this does is it lays, because I told you that they're looking to actually have a two-theater war. And I believe that if they actually do this, that means that they're setting up to go into and basically invading Taiwan. Remember, it's only going to take this long. That's it. You know, the day they launch, the day they go in is, you know, how long are we going to be flat-footed? How long are we not going to be ready? And as a matter of fact, one of the questions that I, you know, I didn't go into the entertainment over this balloon, but one of the things that needed to be asked, that nobody was asking, I'd never heard anybody talk about this, what was, because they knew that that was a spy balloon. They knew this. I mean, by the time it hit Montana, they knew. And so one of the things that has to be asked is why and what was told to all of the commanders in operations. Because, see, as the spy balloon goes overhead, if you're actually out there with, you know, if standard operations and so forth, then you become vulnerable. See, what everybody in the world learned, and as a matter of fact, I think you saw this in, you know, Clear and Present Danger and some of these other Tom Clancy and some of these other spy type of shows, that when a certain time comes along, when, you know, they knew that our reconnaissance would be going overhead, they would actually pull everything in, shut, you know, turn the lights off, shut the doors, and it just seemed like a ghost town, like nothing's going on. And they would do that every day. And they knew that they had a very specific time window of vulnerability. And so they just basically inoperated for those little points in time during the day. The question is, did we do the same? And oh, by the way, because this balloon traversed so slowly across, and we're not talking about a few minutes, we're talking about an hour, you know, of it, its approach, flying overhead, and it going away. The question is, were these stations and installations that were well within the view of this balloon, were they doing action as normal? Were they told to, you know, gear up and operate? In other words, what kind of information were they able to gather? And you can tell by the messaging along the Department of Defense. In other words, as soon as we knew, were they actually telling people, oh, just go back, you just go about your business as usual? In other words, we're letting them see everything. And I'm not hearing anybody talking about this. I believe that the Biden administration, you know, probably deliberately allowed, you know, the vulnerabilities to be assessed so that they could find out everything. You know, the reason why a nation, you know, either, so America monitors the world because of two things. I think we started monitoring the world based on a noble plan and a noble cause, but we actually, you know, started using that for unrighteous reasons, for, you know, unrighteous dominion type of thing. And so I'm here to tell you that when you look at a nation that is actually doing that type of intelligence gathering, they're not doing it because, oh, we just want to see, you know, just have an interesting baseline. That is all actionable intelligence that they need so that they can see what America's posturing is during these certain events and so forth. And so how does America react to things going on in the world and or the fact that there's a balloon flying overhead? Now, I'm looking at this as more of a sign that China is actually stepping up its game. It's watching us to make sure that, you know, if they don't perceive that we're ready to respond if they actually act quickly. So don't be surprised. I mean, I'm not going to be a clairvoyant and say this is going to happen, but don't be surprised if while the Biden administration is in office, that Taiwan is seized by China. China steps in and takes over Taiwan. For some reason, my tongue is being twisted a little bit today. So I hope this all makes sense, and I hope you actually start realizing that the way things are playing out, it's not looking good for the Dalton chief, but even worse for America. He's in there not to help us. He's in the White House to help seal the deal for the globalists. You know, it's not really about China. It's about the globalists and what the globalists want to do. What happens to the markets when all of a sudden there's a perceived weakness in America and war breaks out? Do you think the market will respond well? Folks, I really hope that you don't have 401ks. I really hope that you have a better access and better control where it's not vulnerable to where all of a sudden you lose everything. I hope that's not the case. But I am here to tell you that that's how it will happen. When we go to a cashless currency, it will be because you only have pennies on the dollar. That, you know, the value of the dollar has been deflated so much that you'll go, oh my gosh, I have no retirement. Well, if we go to this cashless currency, if we go cashless, then you'll actually be able to have some security then. So in other words, they believe that your savings that is currently under their control, you know, if they give you a portion of it, a better portion than what you perceive that you're going to get, then you'll be willing to sell your soul for that security. Don't let them do that. You're far better off in America, where people will start taking care of each other. If all of a sudden we're all, I mean, I can see that when you're out in the, you know, in the fighting in the bread lines, you know, during the COVID vaccine and all of that. I mean, it was just pandemonium. Everybody's out there going crazy. But in your community, I would hope that civility would prevail. I would hope that compassion would prevail, especially after we all realize the lot that we're in, and we all realize that if we don't bond together, we're doomed. Because remember, united we stand, divided we fall. You got to keep remembering these little adages, because these adages mean something. They've been around for generations. They mean something. So anyway, the next thing I wanted to jump into is this paradigm of the conservative entertainers. You know, I have to, because I don't hear really good content when I get out and I listen on the radio or satellite. I usually listen to classical music or what have you. But every once in a while, I'll go, you know, what are they talking about on conservative radio? And every once in a while, it's Charlie Kirk that's on, or Sean Hannity. And every time I listen to these guys, it doesn't even matter. Glenn Beck, it doesn't matter who I happen to hit, the Sex Buxton show or whatever. I am just absolutely just beside myself by the time I've listened for any period of time, because these guys just don't get it. They don't care. They don't care about restoring the republic. They only care about entertaining you so that you'll come to pay when they come to town, you know, and they'll make, you know, this huge honorarium, or they'll make, you know, a certain take off of the seats. Come on. Seriously. It is about helping you understand what must be done and what you have to do. I mean, this isn't about entertainment, folks, because you can actually ignore the news and things will still be bad. Let me ask you this. Today, Has anything gotten better in the world environment, in the geopolitical scheme with Washington, D.C. and the world? Even under Trump's watch, were we finally getting safer? We thought things were getting better, but boy, were we sadly mistaken. It was the same thing with Reagan. We thought things were getting better with Reagan. It was just that we had a reprieve. You know, we may have gained back two ratchets back from the ratcheting of tyranny. And then as soon as he stepped out of office, the ratcheting began again. And then more ratcheting and more ratcheting. Maybe Trump unratcheted a couple of things, but he didn't undo anything. He didn't lead and he didn't put us on the direction of being, you know, seeing the light at the end of the tunnel, understanding where we need to go and what we need to do, because he didn't understand. He doesn't understand. This is why America needs somebody that actually does understand. You know, I'd love to get Michelle Bachmann back on the show. I just keep on forgetting to send another email to say, hey, would you come on? But I'd love to have her back on, but I think she's afraid to, because she's, I already told her, I had already broached that with her, that I said, I'd love to see you run for president. What say you? And I don't think she wants that pressure. I don't know, maybe somebody has told her something. I don't know. And what I mean by that is, you know, you better stay out of this game type of thing. You know, sometimes they send those types of messages so that, you know, people go, wow, I've got to take this threat seriously, because, you know, they're looking to hurt my kids or something. And she's got a lot of kids. She's got a big family. She's got a big heart. And she understands the Constitution. That's the kind of president America needs, but don't listen to me. Anyway, we'll be right back, and I'll talk a little bit more about these conservative entertainers.
The reason progressives are effective in instituting their policies is because they are united ideologically, financially, and socially. In addition, almost every billionaire in the world is funding a vast array of different groups, and these groups' efforts are to undermine our republic and our Constitution. If you don't believe me, just Google donors to the Open Society Foundations. The only way we're going to successfully combat these efforts and take back our liberties, like our education system, healthcare, state lands, housing, labor, and many other roles, responsibilities and powers that belong to the states, is by you and I and local businesses getting involved in supporting political programs and efforts based on constitutional principles. The best way to do this is supporting result-oriented organizations designed to take back our lost liberties. The ultimate result-oriented effort is Republic Review. So please consider contributing to the show and the organizations and activities that we are supporting by going to reclaimingtherepublic.org and go to the contribution page, and you can become a listed supporter of Liberty.
Don't forget, you can call our 24-hour comment line to ask a question or to speak on any topic. Dial 425-270-5416. Okay, so, you know, I actually had to begrudgingly listen to Sean Hannity, and he just goes on about what he told you, and it has nothing to do with the truth of why we're in this position, nor is it an acknowledgement that, you know, he's failed to educate you, because he's not there to educate you. Not even Glenn Beck is there to educate you. Glenn Beck may actually shine light and seem like an academic type of conservative entertainer, but he's not there to educate. He actually even says, you know, that his show, at least that's what he used to have, his moniker was, that he, you know, his show was a fusion of entertainment and information. And see, there you go. You know, some of us will actually, you know, put it on the line. Some of us will actually say, this is what you have to do. Prove me wrong. You know, you got to have some guts to be able to do that. Or at least you have to at least have a good enough understanding to know that when you've laid that piece on the table and say checkmate, that's checkmate. Because there's nothing worse than claiming checkmate when actually all of a sudden you lose, right? Now, when we're talking and I'm listening, actually when they're talking and I'm listening, and I hear, you know, Sean Hannity go on and on and on about, you know, literally all of the things he said, and it just seems like it just gets so old. His routine is not very informative that much anymore. But when I listen to Charlie Kirk, because he's fresh, he's kind of has this new angle. He's rising. He's in the ascension process of working to become a top entertainer. And so when I hear, you know, him actually make this, and, you know, I have some respect for this guy because he actually started a myopic organization. In other words, the Young Republicans or the Turning Point and Turning Point USA and that type of thing. So he created a movement in college to kind of get these young kids to start, you know, looking and becoming conservatives and looking Republican and thinking Republican. In other words, he's just as bad, you know, because the Republican Party is doomed. The Republican Party, that name brand, that brand is owned by the globalists. The globalists have full control over that brand. And the day may come when all of a sudden they've, you know, the parts of the Republican Party become too constitutional. They'll come in and they'll seize control. Or they will basically say you can no longer use the Republican brand. And as far as I'm concerned, when it rears that kind of head, and I don't know if it has a better way of doing it where it still kind of maintains its level of control, because it's all about control, folks. It is all about control. And I know that everybody looks at, and it's because everybody has, you know, their own opinions regarding our education system. Charlie Kirk just, he believes that the whole college industry must be burnt down. And in other words, the institutions are the problem. When I'm here to tell you, the institutions were never the problem. It is the agenda that had been coming from collectivizing and centralizing and putting this power into the federal government's hands. See, you don't need to burn down the schools. As a matter of fact, all you need to do is just change ownership or conservatorship over who runs those schools. You know, the brick and mortar, why tear down the brick and mortar? As a matter of fact, one of the things I pointed out when I was, I was just someplace and we were talking about education and we were talking about, you know, churches and so forth. And I basically pointed out this one place was, I was at the commissary. The military commissary. Now, the military commissary, you know, last summer that I go to, it didn't have any air conditioning back in the storage area. And, you know, which means that they didn't have any heating. So all this winter, when we were down to sub-zero temperatures and so forth, they had no ability to heat. So they had all sorts of, they've had nothing but problems. I mean, the whole, the facilities is completely breaking down. And you would think that it because it's a government facility, that they would be maintaining this. And I'm telling you, why? Because this takes care of veterans. This takes care of the military. So why is it that, you know, they spend all of this money on, you know, the new weaponry and all of that, but they don't spend a penny on updating the facilities? Now let's contrast that to your education system and the schools in your state. There's no, I mean, they have a schedule when they change out the air conditioning. They get rid of perfectly good heating and air, you know, heating and cooling systems because they don't want it to fail. They want your kids to be, you know, doing without. Well, hold on here. Your churches don't do that. As a matter of fact, your churches, you know, they have to be very careful with what they spend their money on. But when it comes to government, social government, the things that actually they see as the pearl in their eye, that gem that is providing them with this great thing, which means the thing that this education is providing and why government has empowered it so much so that it actually is a self-licking ice cream cone, And what I mean by that is that it is now, you know, being perfectly funded because they take it out of your taxes. They levy a tax on your property. I mean, the federal government is making all of this money to create this crappy curriculum and pay all these bureaucrats. They're the ones that pay for all of the evil crap. And then you fund for the actual school system, the actual building, and you pay through the teeth for these things. And you know you do. When, you know, the kids can do with the same air conditioning and heating system until it starts to show, because 9 times out of 10, usually you can tell when they start showing signs of stress. You don't just change it out in 5 years. Shoot, my house has had its air conditioning and heating system for, 22 years now. 22 years. And it's still functioning. And you're telling me that the schools have to, you know, update their facilities on a 5 to 7 year schedule? What? This is just crazy, folks. It's crazy. We pay way too much. We pay way too much for an institution that is weaponizing and just basically is the root cause of destroying us. So anyway, so Kirk basically and Prager, they all talk about, you know, they need to just burn these buildings down. When I'm here to tell you that, no, you have to get government out of the responsibility and out of controlling these things. And the way to do it is by giving these responsibilities back to churches and local communities. I am here to tell you that when America actually had the churches and local communities running education, then the kids were actually learning things that were good. This global agenda of sexual dysphoria. And I mean, we right now actually have to get these things back into, you know, full control. There's this term, I think it's STEM, you know, science, technology, engineering, and mathematics, something like that, where, you know, that those are the focuses that we have to have on our education system. Well, if you asked the people that actually receive the byproduct of your education system, they would probably tell you, yes, those types of things, but they would also probably tell you to stop doing the social engineering. It doesn't make a dollar for them whether Sally had two mommies. As a matter of fact, your personal life doesn't fit into their business. Maybe there are a few businesses, but that's not big business. It's not, you know, manufacturing products. It's not, you know, innovating, you know, world changes with, you know, technology and so forth. Come on, folks. When we look at what our education system is doing, we are the last in performing practically amongst the nation's leaders. Why is that? Why is it that we are the last? Because we are the last to fall. And when we fall, we bring everybody with us. And I am here to tell you that that is the agenda. When we fall, we will bring everybody with us and we'll bring everybody to their knees. Or I should say, whoever's behind all of this is looking to force people into doing his will. Force, compel. This is not liberty. You know, liberty means that you will be willing to, you know, bend your knee. You'll be willing to take his name. You have to choose these things. And so this is the stark contrast. And this is why I go back to the scale of liberty, what I was talking about in I think it was yesterday's segment. We started talking about the scale of liberty and being wired to help people understand everything that they need to understand to make the most informed decision, to make the right choices. Do you think our kids are giving all of the information to make the right choices? Heck no. They are being provided very specific information to make decisions that would be detrimental to them and detrimental to all of us. We are actually looking at being consumed in such a carnal state, and it has all to do with the education system. They encourage our children to completely envelop themselves in all of the types of addictive behavior, whether it be drug abuse, whether it be sex, whether it be gambling, whether it be gaming. It doesn't matter. Feel good and enjoy yourself. That's what they're learning. And so this kind of lends to a conversation that I received. And as a matter of fact, the guy's name is Jim. And I would probably bring this up on Friday, so I probably will. But since I've got less than a minute, it's interesting where he's talking about, you know, he doesn't understand the millennials. And, you know, and everybody goes, well, our kids are such a problem. Well, hold on here. Who are the parents? It's we. It's our fault because we failed to parent the parents of these generations. I believe that the baby boomers did the first disservice, but the actual first disservice was by the greatest generation, because the greatest generation was the first generation to embrace socialism called Social Security. And so when we really start looking at, you know, we have to blame ourselves. This goes back to that very first video to the county commissioners, but I'm going to stop myself right here so I don't bleed in. We'll be right back after this promo. Thank you so much.
To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process.
As a reminder, if you have any questions or comments, we have a 24-hour comment line, 425-270-5416. Okay, so like I said in that video, you know, we the people have everything to blame. And how are we to blame? Because we're the ones that fail to look at the big picture and understand that as we started creating every little chasm of political factions, whether it be marriage, whether it be, you know, some form of Christianity, or whether it be the Second Amendment, whether it be your right to speech, or religious expression, or what have you. Every time an organization, as a matter of fact, I had just recently made a post in this, it was a Georgia Facebook group that has created this Dustin Inman Society or something like that, where their whole focus is stopping illegal immigration. Well, okay, that's nice, but they're turning their back on the rest of the Constitution, period. Every group that does this, they're turning their back on the Constitution. And we as parents fail to give, and because maybe we weren't taught. There are some baby boomers that were taught the Constitution. Many baby boomers were not taught the Constitution. I wasn't. I graduated in the 70s. Those who graduated in the 50s or early 60s, they actually got some level of civics, Constitution, and that type of stuff. But still, even those people, even Ed Griffin Jr., G. Edward Griffin, he even admitted that he was taught, and when he graduated in the 40s, he was taught on the positive side of collectivism and how collectivism was the right thing to do. I mean, Dewey, under the FDR administration, was a huge advocate for teaching communism and getting everybody to start embracing collectivism. This was the new religion. This was the godless religion. This was all being played out from the Scopes trial and everything else. We were being hit with this barrage of godlessness and collectivism, that the new salvation would come from the state. It would come from somewhere here on this earth, and it's preparing us for the Antichrist. Are you ready? Well, if you're ready to start fighting, then we actually will have a chance. Now, the Bible says the whole world will be deceived. That doesn't mean all of us. It just means the majority of the world. It doesn't mean, you know, what the percentage is. Whether it's 70 to 30, it could be 50% plus one. It only takes a majority to reign tyranny. And we have to stop believing in their tyranny, and we have to stop believing that they have this power. We have all the power, because we happen to live in the nation where we were given that power in that Constitution, which is why I'm just amazed when I tell people that the First Amendment right of petition is the only way to go. It's not the Convention of States. It's not going into your court system. You have to actually demand directly of the judge. You have to demand directly, because you don't have to go into his court to demand that he redress your grievances. That means if you go into his court, then he has control. Under the Constitution, we have control. We have a right to petition government for the redress of grievances, which means that they have to respond. And if they don't, then we understand that they don't care about our rights and they don't care about the Constitution, because it's in the Constitution that they must redress. You know, there was a reason why this was added in the Magna Carta, and there was a reason why it was maintained even into our Constitutional Republic. I shudder to think that how many nations in the world do not have this right. You know, the only right they have is to protest. They have to go out into the street, because their only hope is to create this huge, you know, uprising, a revolution, a civil war. We don't have to suffer that. And when they stop listening, then we have to demand louder and louder, which means instead of going into the streets, we need to go into their halls. We need to go into Congress. January 6th, 2021 was not an insurrection. It was a classic violation of the rights of the people to be able to petition Congress for the redress of grievances. Congress has no power. They have no authority to pass any law that abridges the right of the people to petition them. And they did, which means that they violated the Constitution. They don't want to have this conversation. They don't want you to look at it this way. They want you to look at it as you were protesting. This is why I tell you that the narratives need to change. All we need to start doing is things using the different terminology and using different wording. We don't want to use wording that actually lends us to, you know, a shadow government, or lends us to some discreditable type of label, because that's how they can convince everybody how you're bad, because you have that label. You created the label yourself. I do believe that labels do matter, but it's up to you. You choose your label. You choose how you want to call your county. But don't be the tyrant that says, I'm the one that'll dictate. The county needs to come up with its own naming. The county has to decide. And I'm here to tell you to keep it liquid for a little while. I mean, so 9 times out of 10, people want to, you know, create, and I think you can come up with a good name. That's fine. But when it comes down to what you want to call your county organization, give it time, because I believe that over time people will realize that if we were the ones that were enforcing the law, in other words, we're not the police, that we're the ones that enforce the law, then we would actually have a much more civil society. Crime would go down and people would be held accountable. All people. You know, and this is how we learn. But we you know, I don't want to digress. There's a couple other things I want to do. But almost all of the things I really wanted to cover regarding these conservative entertainers is why, you know, I would never work with Sean Hannity. I would never work with Mark Levin. I would never work with any of these guys. You know, when they have their events and they go, hey, let's bring in G.R. Mobley because he's starting to, you know, he's starting to really pull in a crowd. You know, let's bring his crowd in too. No. Until they actually become advocates on the Constitution, I will never be advocates for entertainment and keeping you distracted. I don't care about that. As a matter of fact, I don't care about making money. You know, I'm a pretty smart guy, and I could probably easily be doing something with these years of my life in bringing money into this household. But as I've said, we've been blessed with what we have, and I truly believe that somebody has to do the right thing. And as I have told you, the only reason I'm here is because the blessings have been poured out in my life. And to be honest, you are those blessings. There's many of you that have just truly blessed me, and I'm so thankful to be able to work with you. And I know that there's a lot more. There's just so many people that are just sitting on that edge that, you know, they keep hearing me push them and poke you, and this is what I have to do. You know, we're not all in the same room physically. There's a little bit of a difference when you're in the same room, and when you can finally get some people to start standing up, usually everybody else stands up. Because most people, if they have the autonomy, they have the ability to sit on the fence, they will. Most people are fence sitters. When I look at the war in heaven, I believe that there were a lot of fence setters there. There were a lot of people to try to figure out who was moving in what direction to say, you know what, I'm going to go this way. Because it seems like that's where the majority of the, you know, of heaven is going. And it came out to be 2/3 against 1/3, right? 1/3 of the host of heaven was cast out. So there was probably a lot of fence setters there. And I believe that we've got a lot of them here today in this life. And I truly believe that that's probably why we have so many people that can be swayed one way or the other. That's why so many people are just easily misled. You know, when you look at the things that are permeating in the patriotic circles and how people can allow themselves to be sucked into some of these different arguments to actually surrender your citizenship. I mean, that's got... You know, they say a good salesman's born every minute. And so, you know, this is actually evidence and proof of that. That there are people that can sell you on the idea of surrendering your citizenship to the greatest nation ever created, to the greatest constitution and document of governing mankind ever created. I'm G.R. Mobley. We're Reclaiming the Republic, and we need your help. God bless.
Reclaiming the Republic is more than an educational radio show. My intent is to also work with you and local leadership to promote matters of the Constitution and self-governance. This way we can all promote constitutional awareness within our communities and with our elected officials and public leaders. If you love liberty and sovereignty and recognize the federal tyranny that is threatening our lives, then we are asking for your help. And here are a few ways you can help. Spread the word about this radio show, Reclaiming the Republic. It is the only radio show in in the world asserting a constitutional solution to federal overreach. Download and share our podcast and content. Read, like, follow, and share our Mobius Strip Press and Reclaiming the Republic pages on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at Mobius Strip News. Get informed about local groups in the area and get involved. Most importantly, become a constitutional warrior with your local leaders and demand that they begin applying constitutional tests to what they are doing and who they are supporting. Thank you.